Yashodanandana Vrajajanarandana Yashodanandana Vrajajanarandana Samunatiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Chinda Bihari Kovijana Valava Guru Vadhari Yashara Nandana Vraja Jana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Sundara Bihari Kovijana Vallabha Guru Vallabha Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paragujyakacharya Ashtotra Satya Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya's Divine Grace Shri Prabhupada Ki Guru Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the Son of the Lord to you. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Vitala. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Guru Gaura Bhana Vacharya. Nira Vishesha Srinivaya Prasthaya Chidaya Sattara. Madhamati. Hare Krishna. So Madhamati is going to lead us in the Sanskrit chanting. And I'll read the report, translation report.
Ekaika shangani dhyanu bhavaye Padadiyava dhashitam kadabhita Jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharaye Param param shuddhyati dhi yatha yatha Ekai kashongani dhi anubhavaye Padadiyava dhashitam gadabhita Jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharaye Param param shuddhyati dhi yatha yatha Please chant.
Param param shuddhati dhi yatha yatha
Ekasha, one to one, or one after another. Angani, limbs, diya, by attention. Anubhavyet, meditate upon. Pada Adi, legs, etc. Yavat, until. Hasitam, smiling. Gadabrita, the personality of Godhead. Jitam Jitam, gradually controlling the mind. Stanam, place. Apoya, leaving. Now yet, meditate upon. Param Param, higher and higher. Sujati, purified. D, intelligence. Yata Yata, as much as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The process of meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Lord and progress to His smiling face. The meditation should be concentrated upon the lotus feet, then the calves, then the thighs, and in this way, higher and higher. The more the mind becomes fixed upon the different parts of the limbs, one after another, the more the intelligence becomes purified. Report. The process of meditation recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not to fix one's attention on something impersonal or void. The meditation should concentrate on the person of the Supreme Godhead, either in His Virat Rupa, the gigantic universal form, or in His Satchitananda Vigraha, as described in the scriptures. There are authorized descriptions of Vishnu's forms, and there are authorized representations of deities in the temples. Thus one can practice meditating upon the deity, concentrating his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and gradually rising higher and higher up to the smiling face. According to the Bhagavat school, the Lord's rasa dancing is the smiling face of the Lord. Since it is recommended in this verse that one should gradually progress from the lotus feet up to the smiling face, we shall not jump at once to understand the Lord's pastimes and the rasa dance. It is better to practice concentrating our attention by offering flowers and tulsi to the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, we gradually become purified by the archana process. We dress the Lord, bathe Him, etc. And all these transcendental activities help us purify our existence. When we reach the highest standard of purification, if we see the smiling face of the Lord or hear the rasa dance pastimes of the Lord, then we can relish His activities. In Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, the rasa dance pastimes are delineated in the 10th canto, chapters 29 through 34. The more one concentrates on the transcendental form of the Lord, either on the lotus feet, the calves, the thighs, or the chest, the more one becomes purified. In this verse it is clearly stated, the more intelligence becomes purified, which means that the more one becomes detached from sense gratification, our intelligence in the present conditioned state of life is impure due to being engaged in sense gratification. The process of meditation on the transcendental form of the Lord will be manifest by one's detachment from sense gratification. Therefore, the ultimate purpose of meditation is purification of one's intelligence. Those who are too engrossed in sense gratification cannot be allowed to participate in Archana or to touch the transcendental form of Radha Krishna or Vishnu deities. For them it is better to meditate upon the gigantic Virat Rupa of the Lord, as recommended in the next verse. The impersonalist and the voidist are therefore recommended to meditate upon the universal form of the Lord, whereas the devotees are recommended to meditate on the deity worship in the temple. Because the impersonalists and the voidists are not sufficiently purified in their spiritual activities, Archana is not meant for them. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya. Om Ajñāna Timirāndasya Gananjana Śrīlākara Chakshvim Vilitam Yena Tasmai Śrī Gurave Namaha. So this morning, following Prabhupada's lead in discussion in his purport to this verse, I wanted to talk a little bit about deity worship, because it's recommended for us. Prabhupada's talking about those who are impersonalists and voidists, nirvishesha sunyavadi, and he's talking about us. But he's very mercifully given us the process of deity worship. And so I wanted to explore it a little bit by looking at this concept of Ishtadev. You familiar with this concept, Ishtadev? Many devotees actually, they think and meditate like this, that such and such form of Radha and Krishna at such and such temple are my Ishtadev. Means a very dear relationship with a particular form of the Lord. Now, one's Ishtadev is, one's relationship with Ishtadev is developed through service. And so we see that special service to special deities grow in the hearts of devotees. And I assume it's growing because they do, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, they begin from the lotus feet and meditate up the body of the Lord to the smiling face. How many times has Prabhupada warned us not to jump prematurely, jump to the 10th canto or the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. But at the same time, he hasn't left us with this Virat Rupa form. He's given us the form of the deity. One thing that Prabhupada said about the Virat Rupa was, it's the gigantic universal form of the Lord. It's hard to dress him. Universal form, hard to dress. But in the Archa Vigraha, we get a chance to serve the Lord very intimately. And as I say, sometimes this manifests and a particular attraction to a particular deity and a particular activity with that deity. Of course, the basis is service. We cultivate attachment to our Ishtadev through service. So does anybody have a particular istaday that they worship or meditate on or think about? Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, definitely. But does anybody have that idea? Yes?
My Ishtadev is like a Hanuman.
Hanuman.
And I pay him as a Vaishnava, he's a servant of Sri Ram.
So you follow in the footsteps of being a servant of Ram by Ishtadev Hanuman. It's interesting because of the few examples there are of in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela of Ishtadev, Hanumanji is there. Marayagupta, for instance, he was personally asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to worship Krishna. And of course, it was part of the whole Sankirtan movement and it was taking over in Navadvip at that time. And the holy names for worshiping Krishna. Krishna was being glorified. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged Marayagupta to also worship Krishna. But because he had an Ishtadev, let's say, a Hanumanji, he couldn't give up that worship. And so one night he tried all night to give up his attachment to Hanuman. And in the morning he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him he couldn't do it. Actually his Ishtadev was Ram. And he was meditating in the service to Ram because he was Hanuman himself in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So that's a good example of an Ishtadev, Marayagupta and Lord Ram. Of course, the brother of Rupa Sanatan Goswami is also Nupama, Anupam. He was also Ram Bhakta. Anybody else have a particular Ishtadev they want to declare here?
I have another question.
Okay, let me get to the question. Sukada? Lord Nrsimhadev, Sukada saying Lord Nrsimhadev. So it must have been quite a festive and interesting and worshipful last few days for you because Lord Nrsimhadev's appearance.
Yeah, the world is such a fearful place that when I think of Lord Nrsimhadev, I always try to behave myself. Yeah. And then I take care of everything.
Wonderful. Anybody else? Okay, question number one. Go in there.
Second question is, first question is, how do we ascertain that this is your Ishtadev, not just object of worship only, but Ishtadev because the word Ishtadev is like a, you have no separate identity. Your identity is as lover of that particular form of a...
Yeah, well, transcendental relationship, I can't say. But I can, on the basis of your question, point out a problem with this conception of Ishtadev. And the problem is that how do you know who told you? What is it, your own concoction of relationship? Generally speaking, we understand and all spiritual truth is revealed to us by our spiritual master. But do we, on our own, pick an Ishtadev? What to speak of picking an Ishtadev amongst the demigods or those other than the forms of the Supreme Lord? It can be a problem because of mental concoction, mental speculation. And so that makes it a very dangerous thing. And there are different philosophies that have developed on this basis that yatamat tatapat, any path leads to the same, and so therefore it doesn't matter which.
It can if they know what the goal is.
But most people don't.
Yes.
They need tighter instruction from a bona fide spiritual master. So there are some problems associated with the idea of this belief, but the point is that by having a person, by developing a personal relationship with a particular deity, one can progress in spiritual life. Now, there are examples, including ourselves. Of course, no one here said that Radhasham Sundar is my istadev, or Shri Krishna Balaram is my istadev, or Shri Gauranatha is my istadev.
It's mine now, because I don't know.
Well, let's just go to the positive examples, because there are positive examples that we can see every day here in the temple of someone who appears to have accepted Radhasham Sundar as their istadev. For instance, Vijayarada, she dresses the deities regularly, and in that service, she purchases her own flowers and brings them, and very carefully dresses and decorates their lordships. And then you can see her when she's taking darshan, that she has some kind of spiritual fulfillment in serving intimately the Lord by bathing him, dressing him, as is described in the purport here today. So I point out her because I see her doing that, but I'm sure that all the pujaris that regularly serve the deities have a special feeling. That's the real advantage of engaging in deity worship, is we can move from just a philosophical understanding, which kind of the Virat root conception, we can move to a more personal interaction with the Lord. As the Prabhupada said about deity worship, when you're advancing in deity worship, advancing the love of Krishna, it may happen to you that when you're addressing the deities, you think just spontaneously, oh, if I did it like this, if I decorated like this, it would be really nice. Krishna would enjoy this. Simple thing, but just that kind of reciprocation with the deity is very significant in our spiritual life. Just doing it like this, a little special. In the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada translates Rupa Goswami's Bhaktivinoda Rasamrita Sindhu, and he says about the deity that one should see the deity with great devotion. So when we go before the deities every day, we should see the deities with great devotion. And Prabhupada in this purport tells how that devotion is manifest by meditating on the feet, the thighs, the calves, the arms playing the flute, and finally the smiling face. And this is a way that we can discover our istadev, deities that we have a great attraction for. I know that in my beginning days in devotional service, I got the chance to spend some time in Los Angeles, and I developed a real attachment for Rukmini Dwarkadish. although I was a brahmachari, I used to, they had a special service there, special temple. They have a who knows a special service on the deity worship schedule for New Dwarka Temple in Los Angeles? What's a special feature of their deity worship?
They dress the deities in the afternoon.
Yes, they dress the deities in the afternoon. I don't think there's another temple in ISKCON. In Los Angeles.
Afternoon?
Yes, after the Raj Bhog.
Often. I never knew that. I went there many times. I never knew.
Yeah, well, as a brahmachari, I had to serve, so I'm dressing Krishna and putting him in his bed to later be woken up and dressed again. It's a special feature of New Dwarka Temple.
Prabhu, do they do morning dressing also at night?
Yeah, yes.
So this is extra
dressing. Yes, morning, afternoon, and evening they dress again. This is just Dwarka, it's a small deities.
Dwarkanath.
Just with many Dwarkadish. Just big deities and small deities every afternoon. Oh, that's interesting. Time serves. But it's a special feature of Los Angeles, of the ISKCON Temple in Los Angeles, New Dwarka Dham, that this goes on. And it's something that gives somebody, just like I mentioned, she used to dress the big deities when they changed in the afternoon. There's some feeling there. I used to dress the small deities and undress the small deities and put them into bed for the afternoon. There's some feeling that develops in those services, a closeness that is not possible otherwise, or let's just say it is possible through the process of deity worship. Now, there are also other functions. Sometimes it's the deities or special features of the puja. Sometimes it's functions at a particular temple. Like Panchagoda was here for the kirtan this morning. And in Vrindavan, they have a special festival that's not done anywhere else in ISKCON that's also involved with the deity worship. Does anybody have any idea what it is you can say? Maybe Pundarik knows. Say again? Yes, the boat festival. But they fill it because of the special way the temple is constructed. In the temple, they can make a whole pool, and it's beautiful how they do the flowers in different sections and designs, and then take the duties there. I mean, it's something to look forward to all year. It gives us a yearning for a particular type of service. But to speak, if we had a little bit of service in connection with that, if it was our service to fill the courtyard or to decorate with the flower petals. By service we develop attachment to particular deities. And different temples around the world have different celebrations. I don't know how many of you have been to the Dallas Temple. The Dallas Temple on New Year's Eve. At least they used to. Pandemic has changed everything. I don't know if they're still doing it, or at least not to the scale. They had a grand festival on New Year's Eve, and what they would do is they would order thousands and thousands of rose petals, roses, box after box of roses, and they broke the roses down into petals and filled the boxes, and then they did a Pushpa Abhishek at midnight. So many burying the deities. I mean, you know how big Radhakalachandri are. They're big deities. And they've buried them, practically covering their head to toe, in flower petals. It's a special festival to look forward to all night long, all year long. And so different temples have their festivals that mark their calendar. I know when I was in Potomac Temple, we installed Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, and at the installation, we had a festival that went along with the installation. And part of the festival was burning Ravana. Now, that tradition, I don't know if they still do it or not, but for many years, that tradition was there, that burning Ravana would be part of the Shara festival. It's a special festival enacted at that particular temple. And so that was something to look forward to all year long, because it meant extra service, but extra service of the deity. And that, as Prabhupada says in the purport, spirit was sufficient to purify our intelligence. Does anybody know of any other special activities that go on in a particular temple?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Mayapur, they take the deities on an elephant procession. Every Saturday, isn't it? Every Saturday evening. For how many years has that been going on? Yeah, for years and years, special worship of the deities. What I got, Mika?
Also during Chandan Yatra, I believe, which lasts for 21 days, they dress the deities and they create a whole pastime every day. And I'll take this right out of
it. Special. Special creation. Well, That brings us to the point of understanding that even what we were sitting here today before their lordships, do you know what it takes to do this, a presentation like we see on the altar? Or to speak on a regular basis, just doing it once. Get an organization of people and tell them to put on a presentation like this one time. Doing it once in a year would be exhausting for the participants. But every single day, this community of devotees puts forward such a wonderful presentation of their lordships. Whoever thought or thinks that this is idol worship really is a misinformed, ignorant person. The Lord is cooked for. How many offerings? Six offerings a day. There's offering, you know, tea, dressing, morning and evening, fresh flowers, beautiful dress made in India or made here by the devotees. So it's easy just to come in, casually offer your obeisances, and stand before the deity, but to just see the devotion that produces such a presentation every single day. Every single day. So these are some ways that, and some activities which may foster us, in us, a sense of an istadev, some place where we can serve the Lord, not some place that we come to enjoy, but we come to serve. Now, Prabhupada in the purport here is also emphasizing how deity worship is helpful for advancing in Krishna consciousness. And of course he's talking about deity worship. So in our line of the Goswamis, there are three deities which are particularly prominent and meant to help us advance in devotional service. Can anyone say who the three deities are? Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopinath. Now, let me read this, what Prabhupada says. These three deities have very specific qualities. Worship of Madan Mohan is on the platform of re-establishing our forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning of re-establishing our forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality, in the beginning of our spiritual life, we must worship Madan Mohan so that he may attract us and nullify our attachment for material sense gratification. See how these things are linked. Prabhupada's talking in the purport about the effect of sense gratification, limiting our ability to worship the deity. But he's saying here, same thing, that if we need help with that, so we can get that help by worshiping Madan Mohan, because that will nullify our attachment for material sense gratification. He goes on, this relationship with Madan Mohan is necessary for neophyte devotees. So it's necessary that we worship Madan Mohan. So how might we do that? I mean, in the Potomac temple or in other temples, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan is the deity in the temple. But how do we do that here when Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar are the focus? Well, we can meditate, get other pictures. I think I have a picture. No, I don't think so. But we can worship these deities from Vrindavan, offer our specific prayers to help us give up our material attachments so we may serve free of material sense gratification. Madan Mohan is there specifically for helping us in this regard, and we should take the help of him in his deity form. So when Prabhupada goes on, then when one wishes to render service to the Lord with strong attachment, one should worship Govinda on the platform of transcendental service. We have an opportunity to worship Govinda on the platform of transcendental service by a special occasion of Radha Govinda Mandir. They're celebrating, I believe it's this year, the 50th anniversary of the installation of Sri Sri Radha Govinda in New York. And of course they have a festival that marked Prabhupada's triumph in America, which was the 1976 Rath Yatra, which they're celebrating this year's version of in a few weeks as well. So, praying to Radha Govinda, offering a little service to Radha Govinda during this time, or just listening in on the recollections of devotees that have served Radha Govinda in New York for the past 50 years, can help us to render service with strong attachment. That's how one worships Govindaji. So the third deity, when by the grace of Krishna and the other devotees one reaches perfection in devotional service, he can appreciate Krishna as Gopijana Balaga Gopinath, the pleasure deity of the damsels of Raja. Does anybody know any temple that's Radha Gopinath for the main deities? And I'm here. In Chaupati. Okay. In Chaupati. In Toronto, they have Radha Shir Chor Gopinath. And Toto Gopinath. Chir Chor Gopinath's in Toronto. So these particular deities have been given to us by our acharyas. Can anyone say who the main acharya worshipped Madan Mohan is? Say it out. Sanatana Goswami. Radha Govindaji, Rupa Goswami, and Radha Gopinath. It's interesting you mention Madhupandit. Let me read something about Madhupandit, because it's not Madhupandit, although Madhupandit established the duty. Raghunath Das Goswami. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. It is interesting, however, that Raghunath Das Goswami, not Madhu Pandit, a contemporary of the Goswamis, who is usually aligned with the Gopinath deity, is considered the representative teacher of purity and perfection of love of God. So Madhu Pandit and Raghunath Das Goswami. Undoubtedly, there's a lot written on that, and we should know it. I don't know it. Just that exists. We can just take that from this reading today. The question exists: why Raghunath Das Goswami is mentioned, and not Madhu Pandit, and Madhu Pandit is not mentioned alone? Raghunath Das Goswami, because he's our prayer journey.
That is documented, but it doesn't say Isu.
Yeah, well, the point is that these deities are examples of Istadev. Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath. And as I said, We accept them following the instructions of the acharyas. And that's a better way to accept an Istadev than on our own idea, popularly, a popular idea of an Istadev, but better established through parampara. So, comments, questions? Okay. Yes.
So, am I making that revelation of my Iskandar manifestation through my sadhana, or is already predetermined? Who is my Iskandar? You gave an example of Anupam, I mean Murari Gupta. So that's predetermined already. Even though something came in between, Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami tried, Anupam did work out, so it looks like it's predetermined. But in Maharaj Kulasekar is an Alua who actually found himself as a worshipper of Sitaram Lakshmi. But then he also fell in love with Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. It went like explode, zigzag road. So my question is there a predetermined or it should be revealed through my exploration of sadhana, service?
Well, either way, it's going to be based on the principle of service, of offering service, whether it's predetermined or whether you develop it by spiritual practice. Serving the deity is going to reveal it. That's going to be the determining factor.
So how do you explain Purandar Pandit? He was Angada, he was a scholar, but seeing Nityananda Prabhu, he started acting like a monkey, jumping on the tree, and the villagers were surprised that he was a scholarly, carrying the books. All of a sudden he started shaking the trees. Nityananda Prabhu was igniting, he was Angada. But is that the service, or I mean,
I was just going to say, Nityananda is a madman. That's all we can say. So, what we got, Mika, in truth?
Not meant to be explained.
Right.
If you explain, it's not good.
I recall this nice bhajan that devotees would sing, like Rupa Goswami Prandana Hey Radha Govinda Radha Govinda. So, and of course Sanatana Goswami Radha Madan Mohan, and then they came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada Prandana Hey, was it Radha Damodar? Oh, whichever temple. Is that what happened? Okay, I was wondering. And where did that originate from, that bhajan? Or when did it start? Anybody have?
It's in the songbook, I
don't know.
That Prabhupada sent him, I remember very well, Bhakti Charan Maharaj said Prabhupada sent him to Keshavji Goryama to copy the songbook, Bhakti Sanchaya. The original in Bengali right now in Mayapur, it's coming from mostly from Keshavji Goryama, that Prabhupada sent him to copy and introduce. And then Achyutananda Maharaj at that time, he copied few, not all, but some, taken from the same source.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true.
When Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatana Goswami, and he was speaking about the expansions of the Lord, I think he says that different devotees are attracted to the different expansions, like Keshava, Janardana, whatever. So can those expansions be one Zishtadev? I mean, I don't know if you remember that teachings, but
I'll just say the same thing with the answer prime, the window, is that it's revealed by service. We all have a relationship with the Supreme Lord, a personal relationship, and it's revealed through service.
Then one other point. It's stated in the spiritual world.
It's not revealed through service, meaning the service automatically compels the deity to come and have a relationship with him. But that's what we can do. We can serve and beg for the pleasure of the deity, and the deity then gives us his mercy. It's not conditioned. I didn't mean to cut you off too.
In the spiritual world, each devotee has a deity also. I think I read that somewhere. You know, the devotees, they have different deities.
We'd have to see where you read it and hear the explanation of the author. I can't say.
I mean, I don't know if anybody came across that before, but I thought I read that recently.
Okay, thank you. We'll go as a Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.